Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to All Master Podcast, episode 99 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Been a while.
Today's title is I've Got 99 Problems, but War Master Ain't One.
We've got plenty of problems, but that isn't it. That isn't it. Wood Elves, maybe you are.
Yeah, they might be the one.
Well, not War Master. It's been a while, Paul.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jim, and he said the last episode that we hailed back to release while you were away. England was still in the World Cup.
They were.
They hadn't even played Sweden.
Oh my God, amazing. I was away with the army. Yeah, I was away on my long engagement. So that won't happen again, like this financial year.
And you're going away again soon, I hear.
I am going away tomorrow, camping for a week.
Is this the annual hillbilly camp?
Yeah, well, we're not camping, we're staying in this...
Glamping, not even glamping.
Not even glamping, we're like... Nope, yeah, like straight
to the
hotel.
So every morning you turn up fresh, shower.
Fed, good breakfast, lovely food. Yeah, everybody else can be like waking up at what, 5 in the morning when the sun rises.
Boiling hot.
Yeah. Just cooking. And I'd be like traipsing to over, you know, 100 yards to have a shower, a cold shower.
Or the toilet in the night, that's always the classic one if you've been having a few beers while you're camping.
Exactly. Well, yeah, not me. I will be in the bar of this fancy Welsh video hotel and ex farmhouse. Like, honestly, though, the food is fantastic.
Good. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, this was inevitable.
So we might have to edit it down to just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because most of you've been away.
I do have a game to talk about, but I've been away out of country. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've got a game against Jim to talk about. Yeah, another one. I think the last time we talked about a game against Jim. My next game was a game against Jim.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The global traveller he is. Because he puts in some hours to come and play.
He will do, yeah. He's impressed. Yeah, I've always said, like, he doesn't have to be... he doesn't have to come to us. Yeah. Like, I would go to him if... But he's happy.
I did some coaxing at the end, because he doesn't win enough, because he's not ruthless.
Yeah.
So it's like, he'll stick you... He'll stick you in the ribs and you're bleeding out. And instead of twisting, he'll pull it out and put a bandage on.
You've
got to do it. Stick it in. Twist it. Finish it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so tell me some stuff. You must have a lot of stuff going on, like non-gaming wise.
Yeah,
you were away for a million. Oh, and I know in the army you have plenty of spare time to fanny around.
Yeah, so I have done a lot of painting while I've been away. My ogre army is now 9 units finished,
and
all the characters. So it's approaching the level where you could actually, because it's ogres, I could put a painted army on the table.
Right.
So that's cool. Yeah. And also I've been painting recently. I needed to do a single model for an upcoming game of Talisman in September.
Talisman. Holy Jesus.
I know.
What's the edition on there? 5.
4 for 5. Yeah, but this is 3rd edition Talisman, and it was this game I've always played with Ben and a few school friends, and we're gonna kick the arse out of it over that set date, and so we want everything painted, and I only had to do one model. I was surprised, so I bought it off eBay.
Blue.
He's an alchemist, so he's this fancy chap with a big scroll.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's classic, it's like 90s era GW. The lack of detail is astounding. Like, it's like...
Remember that blue robes?
No, I did them as green. Yeah. But it was cool. I based them nicely and everything will be nicely painted. Also, I've been painting some GC occult for a kill team. So I've got a kill team of them ready to go, nice and painted. I've been following a couple of Warhammer TV painting guides for them. I'm mixing two. They've done two of... different GC occult looks, and I've taken what I like of both.
I had a bit of a laugh because Paul turned up with an everlasting wet pack,
yes,
which obviously is like a real prize
possession
for me. This is guaranteed everlasting.
It's everlasting.
So even if I don't use my paint for like 10 years,
it would still be there.
Still be there.
Because that means that's everlasting.
Forever. Oh, everlasting.
Yeah.
In paint terms. Like a long time.
Probably a long time. long time. Never, you know, take it literally.
I did actually build one of these when I painted.
That's very cool.
For about 20 pence.
So what Barry's talking about is this product from Red Grass Games. Never heard of them. An everlasting wet palette, a must-have for miniature painters. And it's basically a fancy wet palette, which you soak the sponge through and it will keep your paint wet for a long time. And if you put the lid on it, it'll keep it wet, apparently permanently. Because I've never noticed this, because I'm with the watered-down paints, is that they do dry, but this should combat that. Anyway, it's a nice thing.
This is aimed at people that mix paints on the fly rather than out of the pot.
Yeah.
Then you've also got your blend.
Exactly. And and Ben was using it and he quite liked it. And because I was away and I earned loads of money, I treated myself.
I've got a choice. So for the uninitiated amongst us, I did actually build one of these about 10 years ago. And it literally is, if you get a takeaway container and you put a bit of sponge in the bottom, and then you put a piece of kitchen towel on that sponge and you wet the sponge, put a kitchen towel on the sponge, and as long as you keep it sealed when you're not using it, it will last a hell of a long time.
I ain't got time for that.
Very, very mean, man. So Paul's got his own little sandwich box.
Yeah.
And no doubt it'll have a bit of foam and it'll have a bit of some kind of kitchen towel. And that'll be it.
Yeah.
Hydration paper sheets.
Look at that. Hydration paper sheets. Two of them. The sponges.
A couple of sponges.
This cool little case for it all to go in and like travel around in, because I'll be using that tomorrow when I go.
Looks superb, sir. I mean, you look like a pro. And what's that for? An anti-static band?
To keep it together. I mean, what is not to like?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Perfect, sir. And we've got another big-ass box here. A Song of Fire and Ice.
Of Ice and Fire. Well done, Barry. You just read that. So the Game of Thrones Kickstarter's turned up, and I thought we might be fun to have a bit of an unboxing.
I've got to be honest with you, unboxings don't work very well on the radio.
But fair enough. I brought it along, because here is what I actually received as the Kickstarter, and...
Is that the postage prices? Because that can't be...
That's the postage prices, but it also lists all the products you've got. So this is Simon's Game of Thrones, the 28mm scale Game of Thrones, based on the books. So I backed the Kickstarter, a year ago. And for 120 notes, the the game, plus whatever extras they came on with.
Wow.
That RRP's at 120. That's
120.
120. Yeah.
In English pounds.
Yes. Yes. Obviously, you would get it cheaper.
Fucking hell, that's quite expensive. I mean, I like the deal you've got. I'm not sure anybody else is going to.
So, on top of that, I just did the standard Hand of the King pledge. So that wasn't like any extras on. It was like the buy-in, and I got RRP stock about 350 quid. So,
as I said, that's quite a good deal for you.
Stark vs. Lannister start set, Stark Longbowmen, Knights of Castle Rock, Bolton Bastards Girls, Mercenary Heroes Box 1, Hand of the King Box, which has lots of individual pieces in it, Stark Heroes Box 1, Lannister Heroes Box 1, Bolton Flayed Men. So, it takes the starter set, which is Stark vs. Lannisters, expands with two boxes and characters, both armies, and gives you a third neutral faction which can ally with both.
Neither. Kill them both.
Or Nibiru or its own stuff.
Fantastic.
Which is pretty cool.
It's a big old box. Cool minis are normally quite good.
Should we open it up or should we leave it?
It's up to you. I mean, it's not really going to work.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it will work on video. You've already opened your little wet palette live on
radio. So the models in here are lovely, actually. Like, they're one piece hard plastic cast. There's no building. They all come in coloured plastic. So, yes, it'd be nice to paint it, but you don't have to, because
they come on the bases?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then they've been glued in a factory like Guildball.
Okay, then, but they're done.
There's no
building.
You'll probably find it's the same factory that.
Yeah, actually.
The Steamforge are using.
Yeah, probably is. I mean, they're very good quality.
They look just like Steamforge, though.
Yeah.
So there we go, maybe it is.
Yeah, probably is, actually.
Who knows? They don't print it on their back, don't they? Produced by this factory in. It's going to be China, no doubt.
Made in China.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good looking stuff. Mm-hmm. You got an impressive deal. I'm not sure I could stomach paying the retail for the stuff you've bought.
Oh, no. I mean,
you paid 120. And we're talking about 350.
And then there were some posters on top.
Yeah, well, we're talking about 350.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, it's exactly. And what's really interesting about this is it looks very classic Warhammer to me. So you have your units, they're formed up, ranks and flanks.
In trade, movement.
In trade, yeah, it's all in there. And then you have your characters off-screen who are working for you, like, behind the scenes and giving you bonuses, etc., okay. etc. So you might have Jaime Lannister on the battlefield, but you've got Tyrion Lannister off the field, that kind of thing. Because it's based on the books, there's so many much they can do. And Eric was telling me he's already seen models of Night's Watch and Wildlings. So now that this is out about a month before it's on the shelves, I've gotten this now. So it'll be interesting to see how quick they do the other stuff. Because when they originally published it, they had a big, long release schedule. Like, as in, they are planning to do a lot of releases.
Really. Oh, I can imagine. But the only potential stumbling block is the dollar.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cost. But a lot of that's going to be down to licensing. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it obviously would have been way cheaper to do it yourself and not yeah. have to pay
yeah.
whatever the license cost
yeah, exactly.
is.
Exactly. I mean, with this, obviously I'll keep the Lannisters because, you know, like that's...
Why wouldn't you?
And I love the size of it. Look at it. Tyrion the Imp compared to the Mountain. Look at the size difference.
I was watching season 7 yeah. recently mm-hmm. and there's a scene where he goes to meet Cersei
yeah.
and there's just him, Cersei and the Mountain
yeah.
in the room.
Yeah.
And that's probably about the difference
yeah,
in size. Because
yeah.
he is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
he is tiny.
Yeah, he's tiny. Yeah. So, I have a date to try this at the club next week. So
tonight?
No, that's Flames of War tonight.
Oh shit! I thought I was coming tonight to watch this. That's
oh, sorry.
Week.
Yeah,
no, I'm just.
Yeah.
It's my own fault for not reading.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's, I mean, it's a southern trait reading.
Yeah.
We're all action, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Yeah.
Well, I won't be rushing to the club tonight then
yeah.
to not see this. Or maybe I can have a go at this.
Well, yeah, but why don't you take it? Why don't you have a go with it?
Well, that's all right. We'll arrange a day for to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I'll be interesting to let the Stark. I'll be willing to let the Starks go for I don't know half the Kickstarter price, like £60, yeah, or something like that.
You know, I'd buy the Starks.
Well, there you go. Like, if you want them, yeah, like because the Lannisters is my faction.
Really,
and,
you strike me as a Lannister.
Yeah, exactly.
Any game?
Yes.
Played a game last week?
So I played Eric yesterday. I managed to sneak in a game of Batman the Miniatures game.
Riddler?
No, I took Batman this time. And so I had Batman Nightwing, which is like a cooler, not Robin, but somebody much cooler. You know, like
cooler than Robin?
Oh, yeah. And also, I took a whole bunch of police with me. And I went up against Gorilla Grodd, who's like this big... intelligent, you know, like ape,
right?
And three other apes,
like
and
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. But big, like you know, it was oh, what's the big type of ape? It's just gorillas, yeah.
Yeah.
And some generic prisoners, escapees, and he had and took
well,
this guy called took this guy,
prisoners.
Yeah, yeah. He took this guy called Calendar Man, who's not that, but he managed to fluke a one kill. On Batman from Fresh. It was ridiculous. Like, it was, yeah, so we played a game, and I do like Batman the Miniatures game. It is fun, but, yeah, the problem is in the game, Batman is a very expensive character, so every time you activate him, he's got to do something worthwhile, and to lose him so cheaply just, like, cost me the game.
Okay.
So it was,
I must say, I don't know enough about the DC universe to know much about the characters apart from the kind of
Eric knows them all. Yeah, like I ask him. You know, like
who the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah. It's like
Gorilla Man.
Gorilla Grodd.
Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah. So that's the only game I've played since we recorded last. I got down the club the last week, and that was just after work, just to pick up some stuff, pick up the Flames of War that I'm using tonight.
This is getting me Santini.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm playing Anthony Knight at Flames of War. I've borrowed an American Armored Company. So it's an infantry armoured. So it's HQ and three platoons in half track in American half tracks.
Yeah.
And then I've got a platoon of Shermans, five of them. I've got two tank destroyers, like basically half tracks with guns and some planes. And that's it. It's a smaller size game of Flames of War.
What's that you playing?
Germans. Yeah. Like so. I know him. He'll have a Tiger. Yeah, like, because of course he will. Yeah, like, and because he's a power gamer. And
fluffy.
Yeah, well, I'll bomb it with the planes and I'll try to get around it with the tanks. because I can't kill it to the front.
No, that's true. Mm-hmm. I saw Eric and Phil play.
Yeah.
The OG Phil. That looked quite interesting.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's interesting because I...
But you're not playing the current system.
No,
third edition.
So the edition... And because... So Flames of War redid their game. They stuck it all in mid-war so far. And the rules set has barely changed, but they've changed... What they have done is they've changed how you do build a force.
Yeah.
And they've taken away a lot of the unique rules... For each raid.
Okay.
So basically, we're all looking at it, going, "Why would I think we prefer third? Maybe we prefer the old."
Well, maybe it's they're going down the Fantasy Flight route. So yeah. You'll buy a box, and in that box there'll be upgrade cards. And
Exactly. I mean, what they have done is they produce a lot more cards the table. But
that's how you build your brigades with those cards, though, isn't it?
Yes. So in version 3, you. Your force all chart is very fixed. This is a infantry platoon, infantry company. It's got to have infantry HQ and 2 to 3 infantry platoons, for example.
Yeah,
and then you can buy off support stuff, but you have to have the core stuff because it's based
in
real formations. And I think they've gone away with that in version 4, where you can just do what you want, which is, you know, the thing is, Flames of War. It's a lovely game system, but ultimately, what is the difference between an infantry company that has some tank support and a tank company that has some infantry support? Not really.
Like, it's access to different support.
It's literally, there's not a lot of difference. So it's great. It's a lovely game system, but it just seems a bit strange when you play Germans versus Germans, or Germans versus, Americans versus Finnish or something. Yeah. Like, they never met. Yeah, and it's like so. But this time round, there's been a lot of interest in like reminiscing about it. So as these things, as our club happens, like a Facebook group, like a thread has been started of it, and I will play my opponent always in the same theatre book as my opponent. So we're playing tonight out of mid-war Africa, Italy, and Tunisia book, and it's the same. So they're from the same theatre.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. If you can do it, good.
But what has happened is Flames of War have started doing more, redoing models, and their plastic of their soldiers is now that's easily the best, because it used to be, plastic soldier would kick out so much more for less money.
Plastic soldier company. Yeah. It was insane.
But so you would still use that for the tanks because tanks can't look that different. But the infantry quality of the infantry for Flames of War now. If it's plastic, is way better.
I'm compared them. But I mean, as long as they're decently priced, because
the
plastic company was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I mean, a plastic soldier is just like is still stupidly cheap.
Okay.
I mean, if you were going to do a big Russian army, then you're going to use them. But I picked up just to see the quality when I was up in Stirling. I picked up a Brit rifle platoon just to see one blister pack, and I looked at the quality of the models and I was just like, yeah, these are a lot better. So this time round, I borrowed an army to keep, to try, and if it becomes a game that I'm playing regularly, I'll do my own army to match who I want to play. And
Italians and Italian.
I could do Italian tank, mamma mia,
tank
Mario. But the models would be nicer now. Yeah, the thing is, you could say, if you kept your old stuff, but actually the models have improved, so I'd want to redo them.
Of course you would. More painting for the paint fairies.
War doesn't take long to paint, it's not colourful stuff.
That's true. So, what's been happening in my world? I've been playing quite a lot of Magic, as always, Magic. Mm-hmm. I even go tonight now, I've realised I'm not doing anything tonight.
Where do you play?
Colchester.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't do it often.
Well, sorry, I mean, I did put on...
It's not your fault. One of the most interesting things that happened in Magic, and this is like, I don't know if there's a lesson to be learned for other games companies, but what they have done is they've printed a card, like a promotional card, mm-hmm. that's only available if you buy a specific product from a specific shop.
Ooh.
And there are multiples of these shops around the world. So for example, if you bought a Song of Fire and Ice from a store, they'd give you a model.
Yeah.
But that's the only time it's ever going to be available. But that model is really, really good.
Are good cards, are they?
Yeah. And now that's on the verge today of starting to spike. So this free card is potentially worth... It was on $60 online. But there's no supply of it. There's no supply of it. You can't get them.
You can't get them. Yeah.
No matter what you want to do, you can't get them. They're gone.
Yeah.
And there was hardly any of them to start with.
So are they still cards in rotation, as in you could have four of them in a deck?
Yeah. In standard. Yeah, in like the up-to-date current format. It's like, it could be very, very messy in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
They might have to ban it because they can't have it on the loose and good.
Yeah.
And people can't get it. Because there's no ceiling to what the secondary market can charge for this card.
Of course.
I do love Magic. It's like the stock market. If you like Wolf of Wall Street, have you watched that film?
Yeah.
It's like that, penny shares.
Yeah.
Because there's no regulation.
Yeah.
People can charge whatever they want.
Yep.
Supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
You want this card? 500 quid. There's a card sold recently for 50 grand.
Yeah, I saw Jim.
£50,000.
Why?
It's a cardboard.
Yeah.
No, it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. Never going to end. And then I played a really good game against Jim, but we might have to talk that as the main event, because we haven't got much to talk about today.
No, that is one
important thing that is I need to say, that I almost didn't record this because we didn't have a topic to record, because it's been quite a while since we recorded one, and we haven't been doing very much. I've got the kids off and Paul's been away, so this is a kind of a free form episode.
There isn't
really much to talk about.
No.
So if that means you tune out now, that's better. It's better we record something than nothing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a mixed bag. And number 100, I don't know what we're going to do with that. It'll have to be like a greatest hits of sorts.
God knows.
100.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah, maybe get Chandler's back.
Mm-hmm.
He's always good fun if he ever fucking says anything.
Yeah.
So talkative.
He wanted today. He wanted to record some filming.
Of what?
For a Warmaster like YouTube. Yeah, like. But
is it a silent one?
No.
Silent movie.
But I said I couldn't. Okay, so we're back. We're packing. Well, Hannah, it's important that we are miserable before we go away.
the packing stressful.
Yeah.
Joe gets in such a state. Man. The morning of the holiday is. It's dreadful.
Exactly.
I'd hate to be a kid. They just hide in the room.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's so stressful.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I'd rather not go.
It's so ridiculous. It's like, she's like, so, I got in a lot of trouble coming here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Better keep it short then. So you can go back and take your beating.
Take my beating. take my medicine. Yeah.
And the other thing I've got to say is, like, I've been feeling really ill recently.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was just I needed my meds up, and then mugged them, and I'm feeling slightly better, but I'm not really feeling very well at all.
Okay.
Don't know.
But I mean, what's the upper limit of these meds? Like, how much?
A lot.
Like, because you always say, like, I feel bad if they get upped again.
Yeah.
Well, how far can they
go? I think they start them.
Why not just take
50?
Yeah.
And I said this to the person, and they said, they're obviously measuring, like, the level of the hormone that they're supposed to be monitoring.
Yeah, yeah.
But it starts at 50 and they can go all the way up to maybe 250, 300. But they go in very small increments every 6 months.
Yeah.
I say, mate, can you just go on with it?
Just cut
to
the
end. Turn it up
to 11.
And then when it reacts, we can turn it down, like come back down, rather than just creep up.
Yeah.
Because like every time they creep it up, it's another 6 months gone.
Yeah.
And it's still not working properly. So anyway, hopefully that's all it is. And then
you need to go Spinal Tap on this.
Yeah, turn off.
It's up to 11.
But it was like, I asked her, so how do you know when we've reached the limit, when we've reached the correct level?
Yeah.
She said, well, we don't really. I said, well, just keep turning
it. Just take them all.
Just give me more. Give me some more.
That's not good. That's not good science.
Well, it's not good science, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really weird. So like waking up feeling tired, that's a strange feeling. And then, like, all day, just yawning and feeling tired.
That's
weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we'll jingle.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're back in the room. We're going to talk a little bit about my second game with Jim. Which was an absolute humdinger of a game.
Humdinger! Five stars.
As good a game as you'd get.
Yep.
As good a game as you'd get. And he should have won. but he just can't do it, can he? He's not ruthless enough.
Not ruthless.
So, spoiler alert, he did lose. He did lose, but he shouldn't have lost, but he did.
All right, basics. Who was winning? What were you using?
So, I was using an absolute stock Wood Elf. Empire list.
What was it?
Absolute stock.
What was it?
So, the minimum infantry, because I've got to take them. So, four crossbows.
Yeah.
I have four knights, because I like them.
Yep.
Two pistoliers. We have...
steam tank?
One steam tank, because they always do good
work for me.
And I can't afford two of them anymore.
Two cannons and...
Two hellblasters. A nice brigade.
Yeah,
Two fanatics.
Two fanatics, okay.
To do some work.
Any skirmishes?
No, I can't afford them.
Yeah, yeah. Character setup?
Minimal. Two wizards.
Yeah.
With the ring and the dispel scroll.
Yeah.
Because I like that combo. And then we had a general.
Yeah.
One hero.
Mounted?
Yeah, well, full on mounted.
Mounted griffin.
With a chief lord. Yeah. That's it. So break was maybe 11.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
But really minimal ordering.
Yeah.
I've got two wizards, leadership 7.
Yeah.
One hero and a general.
And a general.
And that's it. Because I like to...
But you do have a movement spell.
Oh, you do have a movement spell. And Jim was doing... It wasn't a normal Wood Elf list.
No, it probably wasn't as bent as it could have been.
It certainly wasn't as bent as it could have been. But he did have a lot... He had the maximum number of ogres.
So Treekin.
Whatever they're called, and then he had quite a lot of dryads, which are the orcs.
Stats wise, so dryads and treekin a lot.
So they're like ogres, but they're controllable.
Not worried about woods. I think they've slipped through under.
Not worried about woods,
haven't they?
And they're immune to terror.
Yeah,
And safe for the little orcs as well. And then he had a couple of units of boar boys, a couple of units of the kind of skirmisher reaver typeies.
Yeah.
Two units of pterodons, or whatever they're called, warhawk riders, and he always has a lot of fat in his character package.
Yeah,
he does. He's a bit like you. He likes a little bit of everything. So he had to bring the tree man.
Yeah,
that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
He had to bring his general. I think he might have been all on the wizards.
Yeah. Well, they have a place, don't they?
Interesting thing about that Wood Elf list is you can go back into time where you were a demon and have five wizards.
Oh. But they're limited spellcasters, aren't they?
Well, they are. But if that spell's useful,
which it is.
And like some of those, maybe if you could only cast Raise Dead or one. What was the wizard one? The demon one where you kind of raise a sandbag?
Summon demons.
Yeah, whatever the fuck. Yeah. That's good enough. That's all you ever cast. So you could have the treeman and like four other wizards, two of each variety.
Yeah, two branch wraiths, two spell weavers.
So you know all the terms.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. Okay. So he obviously won the scouting by the bazillions.
Yeah, because I don't think he couldn't beat Wood Elves at that. Yeah, go on.
Empire don't scout too well. Yeah. Wood Elves did scout relatively well. And then he put down his two free woods, which was much, much smaller than mine.
So they were scenery pieces rather than cardboard cutouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
And we had a discussion about the fact that I shouldn't have squares.
Right, okay.
Because 60 centimetre squares. Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But you could a 16 centimetre diameter circle is pretty fucking big.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure you couldn't almost fit the square inside that. You certainly fit a lot of troops
in there. Yeah.
Even if you couldn't fit the whole square in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I set up, and I've got a hill that I've got a little bit of work to get to, and then there's a lot of trees and woods, but they're all relatively small.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of them on the table, maybe as many as 8.
Yeah, yeah. Woof. Right, go on.
Because. Well, including his two free ones, because it has to be wholly in your side of the board. So anything that's touching the midline doesn't count.
Yeah. So anything straddling it.
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
So there were a couple on the midline, there were a couple in my side, a couple on his side, and he brought a couple more.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So turn one, I kind of get myself up, get my artillery on the hill, because that's where they're going to do good work.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a steam tank towards the front.
Yep.
Turn one, he fannies around a bit. Turn two, I get onto the hill and get into position to start shooting.
Yep.
Because this is what I need to do to win this game. My artillery's the key.
Yep.
Because without artillery, what am I going to do against
what
else?
Yeah.
Because even in the woods, they're still taking a slapping from the artillery.
Yeah, because it reduces, that brings them back into open, doesn't it? Like the woods doesn't protect.
And there's no armor, no matter what they are.
Well, but there's, exactly.
And even if you're not
even if you're in line, which he was, because he's not a mug, he's not going to go into column, so they're in line, he's still doing four wounds on average per shot.
Yeah.
So it's like dinging all this stuff up.
Yeah, taking stands away.
Yeah. So the longer the game goes, the more my artillery is going to dominate.
Yeah, and if you get lucky, you might take a stand off something behind it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So what does Jim do? Because Jim's a good player, and he's got his ideas. He's got his, what do you think he would do?
Send some cavalry into your artillery?
You could do that, couldn't you? Or you could just cover the front of the hill with trees.
Oh, right, okay.
In the woods.
Oh, right. Just move the woods to your position.
So he moved the woods so that the woods covered the front of my hill and I could no longer see anything. Because the hill was now behind woods.
Yeah.
And all his troops were behind the woods, which were between me and the hill.
That's good.
It's fantastic. Redeploy, boys.
So, yeah, we got to redeploy him,
yeah. Yeah, but that's not that easy because I've got hardly any
energy. Yeah, come on.
God damn him.
Oh, well, that's one way to do it.
It was clever.
Yeah.
It was clever.
Liked it.
So I dinged up a bit of his stuff and I sent my cavalry off to try and get his cavalry. But by this point, he got most of his stuff into woods.
Yeah, which he would.
As you would. And then rather than moving the stuff, he was moving the woods.
Yeah, moving that around, yeah.
Because on a 4-up, you can move the woods 7 centimetres. It's not a lot.
Yeah, but it slowly gets you across the table.
But you can move any 7 centimetres on average size, because it's 2d6.
Yeah, 2d6.
And you can move in any direction. You don't have to nominate before you roll or anything.
Just over there.
And it's very low risk, because while you're in the woods, there's not much coming into the wood that's going to do much.
From an Empire army...
Flagons
aren't going to last more than one round, and if you'd gone for heavy skirmishes, even that.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, you'll lose to Treakin, definitely. Mm-hmm. You'll probably lose to any.
Lose to the orcs, mate.
Dryads.
Yeah, we'll lose to the ogres for sure. Yeah,
Treakin.
The only thing we've got a slight chance against the. Whatever the regular archers are.
Yeah, Glade Guard.
But they're still hitting on threes on the way in.
Yeah, he's shooting on threes, yeah.
And they've still got three attacks to stand.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to mutually hurt you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've still got to do enough to get them out, and they're going to be supported in the wood.
Yeah, so you have to be supported yourself.
Mm-hmm. So he was moving forward. Now,
did he take any way watches?
He did, and he exposed them early. To mess my command up.
Yeah.
I think this may have been the beginning of turn two. This might have been the first thing the cannon shot at.
Yeah, right.
Because he put them in a wood and then moved the wood. So now the wood was really near me.
Yeah,
but the way watch was really messing me around. Because they had to set up outside 20.
Yeah.
Because that's the ambush rule.
Yeah.
And then the wood moves them inside 20. So they can shoot and they're messing with your command.
That's good combos.
Yeah, and then he also tried to fire off a spell that I think on a 6-up damages everybody.
Yeah, within a range of the wood,
Well, the wood, and he's moving the wood into my stuff. It's the middle of my army. It's like, you sneaky bastard.
Yeah, that would really hurt the artillery. Yeah, go on.
So that was his plan.
Yeah.
But I had a ring of... And he got it off on a 6, I think it was, and I added a spell scroll, luckily.
Yeah, so stop
that would have hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And then he went for... I had to move to the side to get a shot, so I had to come kind of off the hill.
Yeah, of course.
To shot on the right to try and get his stuff, which was flanking his cavalry. And then he sent in a unit of whatever they're called, Warhog Riders.
Yep.
Using orders, two orders.
Yep.
One order, combat order.
Yep.
To get him.
Yep.
In the front.
Of your artillery.
In mind.
So he frontally charged your artillery. Right, so it stood and shot.
It stood and shot. And
I mean, they must have hit a Hellblaster.
It did hit a Hellblaster because of the way I set up.
Yeah.
So two units of cannon and a Hellblaster.
Yeah.
It didn't engage the other Hellblaster.
Yeah, because the way it's three stands,
And this did what it's supposed to do.
It shot them down?
Yeah, it shot them down. Completely gone.
Completely. Oof.
That was only a slight spike, you know?
Yeah.
Because they've only got 6 of armor.
So 2, 4, 6, 8 hit, 8 shots from the cannons, so, 4 of them hit, armor saves. Then 8 shots from the Hellblaster.
4 of them hit. No armor save.
No armor save because it's neg 1. Yeah, okay, fair enough,
I mean, it's not that
it's not
a fight.
Yeah. It's take 2 stands off, So then they need to do it again.
Come on again.
Come on. Oh, painless is waiting.
So that brigade works when it works. And then we talked about what he should have done, was to line that up and use a spell.
As long as it was the closest thing.
Were you
deploying them in depth? Like, is it, like, you had, like, your artillery wasn't the furthest forward thing in your army? Like, did you have other things around it?
Kind of.
So basically, the way I would do it is, here's my artillery, my hands are the other, one brigade. So you're opening up a firing channel. So unless he brings those things really close, they're not the closest thing.
Yeah, that's the counter. But unfortunately, I couldn't be that strategic because I didn't have the command.
Yeah.
And I was trying to redeploy my whole army, including all my artillery.
That's your build.
Off to the right. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't anything protecting them or screening them. So they were the first. And you definitely could have done the little thing with the blinkers.
Yeah.
That definitely would work.
Yeah.
And obviously that would have meant that I lost all my artillery for nothing.
Yeah. That would not be good. Well, so yeah, three units over... Yeah, yeah, all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the guy on the right, the Hellbuster on the right, would have survived.
But he could have advanced onto it.
Yeah, and then that was it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So,
happy days. But it didn't happen like that, and how he did get my artillery is because, again, I pushed my leadership too much, and I wasn't protecting the back of the artillery brigade, because I just didn't have the leadership to get the stuff in place.
Yeah.
And he ordered... wild riders, or what they call wild hawk riders, into behind them.
Flyers.
Yeah. Behind them. That's easy.
Yeah. One order behind.
At least you're 10 or whatever the fact is. And then just the movement spell.
Well, that's that other tactic, yeah.
I mean, you could have done it in the front, it would have made any difference. You're still not getting a standard shoot, are you?
Exactly. Okay.
So I lost my artillery brigade, and then the game was his.
Yeah,
to lose now.
He's to lose.
Because
he's got the range of the engagement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's in woods, he's got shooting. My shooting's pitiful by comparison.
Okay.
He's in woods with his guys hitting on 3-0.
With better shots,
And I'm stood outside with my crossbowmen trying to shoot into woods.
It's not happening, is it?
I'm getting picked to pieces.
You saw that meme I put up of like a guy getting pulled of arrows.
He gets to the edge of the woods.
Yeah, he's a pro. That's what happens.
It felt a bit like that. And we traded our cavalry off on the right.
Okay.
I still don't like the Wood Elf cavalry. I think that's one of the weaknesses.
Yeah, what it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like regular Emperor cavalry is better than...
Yeah, yeah, because it just can tank it.
Yeah. Which they can't. And the steam tank did its work, soaking up a lot of arrows.
Yeah.
But can you guess what he did?
Fired enough for you actually failed your arm saves?
No, that's not going to work, is it? It's defended and three up armour and can't be driven back.
Yeah.
He just moves the woods so that they can no longer see it. And he moves the wood to block it off so nobody can see it. Like shit. So the steam tank
was in the middle of some woods.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Can't even get out.
Can't get out. Listen to what you had, like three bits of wood, just like
there was like gaps, but they weren't
bigger.
Imagine if you're playing a scenario and there's capture the tower.
Yeah,
surrounded in woods. There you go.
Yeah, I've won.
Like, and there's stuff in the woods as well.
Yeah,
it's
not even
empty woods. Bastard spell that is. Bastard spell. So abusable.
That's lovely.
So abusable. So you think he's going to have to shoot it, and he did shoot it, but then he just moved his stuff out of the way, so he didn't see it anymore.
Never mind, just go around.
Bye.
It's like an imaginary line, I'm just...
Bye, Mr. Steam Tank. So we were at the stage where Jim had 4 break left, and I had 2 break left. But, I had 2 halves, so I only really had 1 break left.
So how did Jim lose this?
Because I had to go absolutely gung-ho. So I've literally put everything I had.
Yeah.
And he'd come out of the woods, hadn't he?
Oh, okay. So he... Right, okay. So
he'd come out of the woods just enough.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, everything wasn't out of the woods.
Yeah.
But he'd put stuff out of the woods. He'd come a little bit for me. So he'd engage me and dinged me up and backed off.
He was nice.
Mm-hmm. He was nice. So I put literally everything I had into every single engagement. I had to fight them in the correct order to give myself the maximum chance. I had to put my general in a fight. I had to put my fucking dragon in a fight where he wasn't gonna survive the combat. Mm-hmm. He was gonna fight and die.
Yeah.
And that was his job, to fight and die in that combat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to do enough damage for me to win, and I won with half a break. If you'd have taken one more standoff, I'd have lost because I'd have had 2 halves running around.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Great.
And it was an epic game.
Yeah.
It was an epic game, but the Wood Elves are so fucking dirty, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely. They're going to make some people very... Like, newish players, they're going to say, what the fuck is going on with this game? It's like, I can do so much filth. the stuff you can do with the woods is bonkers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I say it will be interesting to play against them, because this is going to happen. Because Jim did put up, like, his thoughts, I saw in an email... And I did ask, so what's the implications to that? And it's like, well, they're still going to be in the Triwiz, so they have a goal. But like, just jumping on a bit, something here. Did you see on the rules committee what Alice put about wood placement?
I haven't been up to date, so yeah. What does it say?
Basically, he thinks that he's going to change the placement of these woods so they have to be touching your deployment zone. So they can't be forward on the halfway, they'll have to be touching your deployment zone. These extra woods.
Okay.
Which he deems as like a minor change, which doesn't need to have a vote. It's just...
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, wood elves are going to be like a difficult one to bed in anyway.
Yeah. So, which is okay.
So that puts them 36 centimetres in. Is that right?
Well, say your standard deployment zone 20, is 20,
and you're touching it, tolling it.
Yeah.
So 16 forward
of
that.
Okay. But we'll see. I mean,
You know the only answer is that eventually they're going to have to be taken away. Because you can abuse them.
Well,
you can abuse
them. Well, yeah, but like, I mean, like, it's anyway. To say, like, it's, I do have something else to mention later, but I'll put, like... Okay.
Walking and talking is thinking and talking.
Yeah, but for events that I'll run, because they involve scenarios, no, they would always won't have that. And it's like, and because there's something that you buy on an army list first, and you might not get to use, that doesn't mean that they can put anyone too far out, because they've bought the war dancers. Yeah, they have
those skirmishes, they're not bad.
Yeah, well, no, exactly, but like I said, on their army list, they're models, they brought to the table.
Yep.
They have not, you know, they can't assume to use them, because even when they are being used, there might be a table that's got too many woods, they can't be placed. So, for events that I run with scenarios in Winter Roller 18 or going into 19 for the next event, they won't be allowed to have that. That's
the free. You've still got plenty to play with.
Oh yeah,
stuff on the table, yeah. Man. If you've got woods,
because I standardise the tables.
Yeah, I mean even when you ambush the warden, what are they called?
What?
The ambush guys.
Oh, Waywatchers.
Even when you ambush the Waywatchers into woods, you can still do loads of damage.
Oh, yeah,
even
of course, that, man. Of course you can. Yeah. But it's like, it's...
You can then make... Yeah, yeah.
But the Jim and Alex seem insistent that they have to, even though it's like, I've been watching this TV series on Netflix called Roman Empire, because it's just done a second series.
The Sean Bean one?
Yeah, in the first series, it's all about Commodus. Everybody knew he was going to be a shit emperor. Like, he was a son of Marcus Aurelius. And everyone knew this, and lo and behold, he became a shit emperor. You know, like, and he was vain, narcissistic, you know, like, power crazy, paranoid, didn't have wars, but just was all about him.
Right.
You know, like, put himself in gladiator games.
See,
and
I saw the first 5 minutes of it last night, and I thought, I can't be asked for this.
Okay, I really like it.
No, yeah,
like
it may be good, but it was, like, late at night.
And they've recently just done that was 2 years ago, they've done a second series about Julius Caesar, which was something I'll mention. Anyway... And so, like, everyone knew Commodus was going to be bad. So I kind of get this feeling with this upcoming Triwiz event in November. You know Wood Elves are going to be bad for it, but they have to let it play out, which is their choice. It's their event.
I don't think they'll win the Triwiz. I don't think Wood Elves will win. I've said this already.
Yeah, but it'll take the right kind of army and player to do beat them.
No, because the Triwiz is a particular event.
Yeah.
It's not scenario-based.
Yeah.
And you have to win big.
Yeah.
Because you've played and not won big.
Oh, yeah.
Finished second.
I'm actually undefeated.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, does it? You've got to win big. And I don't think you can win big with Wood Elves.
With Wood Elves, because
Because of the way you play. If you come out into the open, you'll get a kick in.
Yeah, yeah.
If you stay in your woods and fanny around and win small, you'll win every game small.
Yeah.
Because once you've dealt with stuff like artillery, they don't have any answers for you.
Wood Elves versus Wood Elves would be hilarious, like, as a game to watch. Yeah, I'd be like,
all the woods running around.
Like, moves forward, moves back.
Oh, you can push the other one back. Your wood comes forward, your wood, you push it back.
Oh my god.
There's 20, there's 22 or 23 or 24 lists, whatever.
23 at the moment, and this is something I want to mention, yeah, when we come on to it.
Good. So at the end of the day, what else are people want to play them?
Yeah.
I mean, I will give them a run out, but probably not in the Triwiz, because if I want to win it, I'll not.
You're
going to
use ogres for that.
Yeah, you win big.
Yeah, you win or lose big. Yeah,
that's good. That's what I want.
Well, no, I mean, with 9 units and characters already painted, I mean, you'll definitely have the army done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And people, if you do get to
playtest this Wood Elves thing. Apart from Chaos Warriors, what are you digging these fellas out of woods with? That's the hardest bit.
Heavy infantry, of which the heaviest is Chaos Warriors, so like equivalent like monsters.
That's your tool, that's monsters. What you need. You need something big.
Yeah, that can get in and do that. And several armies have access to that. You know, trolls would be good.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to move them when they're in the wood.
But when they get in there, mother.
But one more interesting thing was we discovered, not discovered, because Jim knew, but even if you're toe in to a ward...
Yeah, you're getting the defended bonus.
You're getting the defended bonus.
Yeah, you count as being in that scene.
The whole unit, not just a stand.
Yeah,
so if we were playing it by stand, it's not a unit.
Yeah, it's of course, yeah. But it's like, it's not something that's been looked to be used so much, is it? But like, just because Eric over there is touching that wood, like, I'm good.
We're all good.
Everybody's good.
Everyone's good.
Yeah.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Could you jibber-jabber, fool? And get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Okay, so we're back. We're on section 3 now, so a little blackgate
miniatures. So I just have a couple of things to scroll through and mention. War Master Rules Committee, I did that, it came up earlier, like Alice's amendment to the woods and things. But also, we need to, I think as a committee, we need to then state... Okay, here's where we're at. We're 23 armies done. Where do we go forward? And there's lots of ideas I've got in my head, because I was talking to some of the Sterling guys about it, and I was like, where else can we take this committee, etc.
Yeah.
One of the things I like had in my head is putting together like so we have an War Master Armies book, which has, you know, let's say 23, and we could still develop Nippon and Cafe to go to 25. But you could also do a Warhammer Armies themes book. You know, so it's like, it's a separate like product, right, and it has all the theme lists that we can think up and written down. But then, and an event like, you know, obviously uses the Warhammer Armies book, but there's also this other thing that we've put out there as a product, which might be quite interesting.
You know how much I dislike the...
Well, no, I'm just saying, but some people do, and it's like...
Generally, people that sell miniatures, like Privateer Press, love theme lists. These are going to have... this Game of Thrones is going to have theme lists.
Yeah, of course it will.
Theme lists generally are like... a marketing tool.
Well, yeah, I get that, but it's it might be a way to just like, why not? As in,
why not? Because there's 25 lists.
Well, yeah, I know, there's a shit ton of variety in all those lists. And I'm not saying that there would ever be an event, as in not an event I'd run, but there'd be an event that allows like a themes book as well. But it's just interesting.
What they tend to do, they start with an inherent weakness in an army and find a way
to do it.
So it'd be like, dwarves don't have access to terrifying things, or let's find a way to get terrifying characters in.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to strip some stuff out. Or like everybody ends up with Huskarls. Because why wouldn't you? Yeah. If you're going to make a new list, they've got a lot of armour, they should be Huskarls.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's ideas. It's like, we just need to... And we just spell out with the committee, like...
Oh, I'd like to see halflings.
Yeah, halfling army.
Because goblins aren't shitting up. Need a new level of shit.
Oh my god.
For the guy that really never wants to win.
They could have some artillery in like hot pots, but they'd have to be crap.
Could maybe have some ogres, I guess. They did, didn't they?
But they'd be like paid mercenaries.
Yeah, not many.
Because ogres like food, and halflings are giving loads of food.
That's the Blood Bowl thing, isn't it?
And they can have like min-max one.
Oh no, they didn't have halflings. They didn't have ogres, halflings. They were something else.
Yeah.
They had treatment, didn't they, halflings?
Yes.
And God knows what it was that had ogres. Grots or something, like a made-up name.
Goblins.
It wasn't goblins, was it? It was grots.
Snotlings.
Strength one.
Sidestep.
God damn it. Oh,
I'm
dead.
Five.
Strength one. Halflings maybe.
Yeah. Anyway,
a good version.
Their ideas.
A good version of shit goblins.
I mean, I would definitely push for us, because we've already started doing the playtesting for Nippon. No, for Cafe. But to do those two armies and to bring them, to make it a nice round 25 armies in the
game. There's not that much wrong with Nick. No, just got to get rid of the shrine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, then neither of them will have nearly as much problems as Wood Elves had as problems.
Or make the shrine the same as what's that thing you've got, the dwarves got?
Oh, Anvil of Doom.
Just give them something that's like that, just call something different.
Yeah, Shrine of Doom.
Because they've got whole magic, haven't they? That's the whole point.
I think so. No. So, other thing I wanted to mention was on Netflix, I've been watching this Roman Empire, but we mentioned it earlier. Did you realise there's something about this? So this current series on Netflix is about Julius Caesar. Right, Julius Caesar. Et tu Brutus. He was an emperor of Rome. You realise? Yeah, think of that.
Was he not like protector or whatever?
Yeah, he restarted the emperors, right, basically. Okay. But he was basically, this is something I didn't realise, is, so he wasn't from a well-to-do.
He was from the Caesars, mate, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was from like a good family, but they'd been discredited in a previous civil war, and he himself was almost penniless. He was a Roman legionary. Like, he was a regular foot soldier.
No, I knew he was a good military
When he was like 18, 19, that was what he was. And
he got his book.
But this man managed to rise through the Roman military, which was quite ordered and structured. Obviously, to be like a number two of Crassus's army, you know, like his go-to guy for that. Then he gets powerful enough to be former part of the triumvirate, like Crassus, Pompey, and Julius Caesar. So the three of them, super powerful, could do anything.
Yeah.
And then he makes a play for the big, and basically he has that war with Gaul for popularity to come back a hit. It was illegal warfare. Romans had such a thing. Like, no, you can't have that war, it's illegal. Yeah. And it's like, that's a very modern idea. You know, anyway. And so that's why he goes to war in Gaul, which was kind of France, Belgium, and Germany. And he comes back like mega rich and famous.
That's what he really went.
But also technically a war criminal. But, I mean, it's just the fact that the man went from just a guy with a shield and a sword in a Roman legion to the emperor. It's like he goes from there to there, like the pinnacle of society, like bottom, well, not bottom, but like he was a Roman, but like a regular Roman to the emperor, which didn't exist. Like, that's just amazing. Anyway, I love Roman history.
So read his book then, I'm sure I've got it.
I'll have to, well, good time.
That's a bit dry.
Yeah, BonesCon. So, BonesCon 19.
BonaCon
19 is happening. And
subject to ticket sales, let me say that.
And I'm staff, I guess you're staff as well?
Yeah.
All right, okay. And I'm waiting to see, in September, our Lord, our Saviour, will decide whether I can run a Warmaster event there.
Okay, well, that's whether or not there'll be something running, I guess. Yeah. If the ticket sales are reasonable, I guess we'll go. But he's got to put a big deposit down on...
Yeah.
And if the ticket sales aren't there, it'll be a bloodbath.
Yeah. So
I think he could be out like 10, 15 grand.
Oh, Christ. All right, so it's February the 8th, 9th and 10th. Because the venue is open so long, we could run a 16-player event in one day. Four-round event in one day. You could do that.
Yeah, easily. Yeah,
you could do it on the Saturday.
And have time for lunch and dinner and stuff.
And loads of time, because we'll definitely be in there and we'll definitely have the tables. You know, so, unlike London Duty. it's going to find inside in September if I can run a Warmaster event there. So that's where my next event would be. Instead of at Colchester...
Well, unless it doesn't run.
Unless it's at Colchester.
And then you're running it.
And January or February's time. But if it does run, it'll be at BonesCon. And it'll be... I want to do a 16-player event.
You need 16 players, mate.
I think we'll get that. Yeah, get over it. We'll get 9.
There are day tickets available.
Yeah, exactly. What I have to then float out, is it like, should I push for a 16-day event like on the Saturday?
Yeah.
It's one day. Should I do a two-day thing?
One day.
Probably one day then, isn't it?
Because I don't think the hotel's particularly cheap.
So give people like the option of
doing one long day.
One if they wanted to.
One long day.
And obviously, for BonesCon 19, I'll have to update my tournament pack, because that'll be Winter Roller 19. Changes I'll make at it. I'm going to change one of the scenarios to be a cumulative scoring one.
Good.
That gets a weather that doesn't have a break point in it, so that's not a way that you can win.
What?
Oh yeah, no. It's like, so objectives with cumulative scoring.
This sounds bad.
No, it's really good.
This sounds bad.
It's really good, but you have to play it. I should try it.
This sounds bad. What if I bring my like 60 skeleton Tomb King army?
It's a pretty extreme build. But like, can you get it onto the objectives?
What can you get me off the objectives? 60 skeletons.
Always more.
That's
still not even that many points.
No. Yeah. Anyway, that will be a tournament pack that I will develop between now and then for the next event I'm running, and it will be that. No. But I've got ideas. They need playtesting. And obviously, when that is done, I will float it out there on Facebook and stuff. It'll be part of the drop-down links of the Facebook group, like for access to download.
Okay, good. Are you going to do that then? Because you have access to the Facebook, but you can do whatever you want.
Am I been right? I don't know.
Yeah, sure you are.
Oh, well, Christopher.
Don't you answer messages and stuff on it?
Yes. Oh, okay, maybe I did. Right, then.
There we go. Teach your dog to fish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so summer recordings. It's going to be a bit ad hoc. The next one's a big one. I've seen podcasts really get hung up on the fact that it's number 100.
Right.
And they won't record it, and they'll keep stressing about it. So we're just going to knock it out.
Just knock it out, like we do.
It's just the number. Just the number.
Yeah.
But obviously Paul's away, and then it's summer. I've got the kids off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we will record as when we can, but we're not running on regular timetables.
Okay. So that was
when I do come back from camping, I'm not going anywhere until February.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm around.
God, you've already got your shift rotor all the way till February.
No, that's the next time I go away is skiing in February.
Skiing?
Skiing with the family.
With Hannah?
No, she didn't ski. Exactly. She didn't stay behind.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Northerners don't ski, mate.
Northerners don't ski.
It's
rich southerners only.
Absolutely right. I've never even contemplated going skiing. It's funny, like, some people will go skiing, and my idea of fun would be sitting and having, like, some food.
Après-ski,
and a drink, and watching you fuckers fall over and break stuff.
So, in February, it'll be quite good, because if BoneCon's run, I'll be at BonesCon, and I'll come back home for a couple of days and go skiing.
She'll love you.
Yeah.
So, you can contact us on Warmer Stuff Podcast page, Facebook page, or Warmer Stuff Podcast at googlemail.com.
Aye.
That was 99.
99.
For Warmer Stuff 81.
It's not.
And that was it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, or maybe a week, or maybe 2 weeks. Who knows?
Would you like to know more?